I brought my treasure chest. Carl may recognize this. They gave it to us. So I've got some treasures in here. You know I like having props, so I don't want to disappoint you. Now, thank you very much, Tiffany, for singing the special music. Got to get my timer set here. Okay, for the message today, I'm going to be talking about myself, which is pretty much always what I talk about, but I'm not talking about myself, but I'm talking to me. And you may struggle with the same things that I do, so that's what I want to discuss. The title of the message is The Next Big Thing. And if you're like me, I know we pretty much all... Sometimes we get fixated on, you know, we want to do this or we want to have this, and we kind of get fixated on that. And most of all those things, the next big thing, are good things and are needful. But the key is to make sure that we don't give our affection to that and put that before God and make an idol out of that. So I'm gonna bring out some of my goodies here. That might be something that maybe is someone's next big thing. Maybe you're wanting to write a book, which can be a really good thing, as long as we don't put that before God. Or I have to plead guilty to this. I love old trucks. I've got several. I'm not going to tell you how many I've got. The real ones. But maybe it's an old truck. Or maybe it's a bigger paycheck. But I just get a little paycheck. if you're single, maybe a single guy, maybe it's Barbie. Maybe you're fixated on Barbie. I asked my wife if she had a Barbie, and she's like, yeah. So she went out and dug it out, and she looked pretty rough. And I tried to brush her hair out, but it's... Barbie's had kind of a rough life, and she's dressed kind of inappropriately too, but I'll lay her right there. Maybe it's a new house. Maybe you want your dream home, which is good, as long as we don't put our affection on that before God. So there's that. Maybe you like, this represents going hunting. Here's a shotgun shell. You know, maybe you get fixated on that. Again, none of these things are wrong as long as we put God first and don't make a false idol out of them. This little guy's name's Mo. And Mo's been with me most everywhere I've been for the last 15 years. He's been to the feast. He's been to Hawaii. He's got his own photo album at winery and looking out the plane window. Went with some friends of ours back to the UK back last March. And he went to Croatia, I think, and went sailing. Anyway, Mo's been around. He's a pretty good guy. But I don't want to see him shot. He's my buddy, but here's his friend. So there's some things out of the treasure chest. So, like I said, you know, most of these things, you know, it's needful in this society to have transportation, a truck or a car. I mean, in most cases, in this country anyway. And by the way, speaking of this country, I want to welcome everyone watching on the webcast. We always really enjoy having you join us. And I want to throw this out there, too, that if you watch on webcast, we would really love for you to come here and visit in person if you're within travel distance sometimes. We love you joining us on webcast, but we would also love for you to come here and join us sometime. And we promise you we will treat you right. We'll treat you very kindly. So the question is, do we honestly, when we examine ourselves, and we've got the Passover coming up soon, do we put any of our affections on these things ahead of God? Such as, you know, do we get sidetracked? Do we have good intentions every morning to get up and read our Bible and pray and study? then we get sidetracked, we get fixated on something. I know I get, I have to be careful because I love to find deals on stuff. And I love to get on Craigslist, and you can find deals on old trucks, you know, you can find deals on boats, all kinds of things. But, which is okay as long as we seek God first. And we have to keep in mind, too, that you know, we serve a very, very good God. We serve the Almighty God. These things can do nothing for us. That, you know, maybe get you to work or buy you some groceries or something, but when times get tough, these are inanimate objects. They can't do anything. God can do everything. Have any of you heard the story about the little girl wanting a string of pearls? She was at the what we used to call dime store. You might call it dollar store today. And she saw this pearl necklace. It was, you know, just plastic pearls. But she was like 3 or 4 years old and really fixated on it. And she just wanted those pearls so bad. And they were like $2. So her mother said, well, your birthday's coming up. Your grandmother will probably give you a dollar. Which that might be looked at pretty cheap these days by grandma, just a dollar. But, and, you know, you can wash the dishes, do some things around the house, and earn the rest of the money. So the girl did. And, you know, she got the $2 together, and she bought the pearls. And every night, she just loved the pearls. And every night, her dad would come in there and kiss her on the cheek and read her a story and tell her good night. And he asked her, would you give me your pearls? And she said, oh, no, Daddy, you can have my Barbie doll, but I really love my pearls. And so the dad asked her this night after night for several nights. And then she'd say, well, you can have, you know, My Little Pony or whatever it was, but not my pearls. So one night the dad walks into the room, her room, and she's sitting there on the bed crying, and she's holding her plastic pearls. And he said, what's wrong, sweetie? And she said, I'm going to give you my pearls. And, you know, it was really choking her up. So the little girl gave her dad the pearls, and when she did, her dad reached in his pocket and pulled out a string of real pearls and gave to her. He was just waiting for her to be willing to give up the artificial so he could give her the real thing. And that story applies to our lives a lot. And, you know, God will never take something away from us without giving us something better. So my purpose today is to encourage all of us to let go of the artificial and to set our faith and affections on God so that he can give us the real thing. If we obey him and trust in him, he will provide all of our needs, and not just all of our needs, but he promises too to provide the desires of our hearts. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read in verses 31 through 34. That's Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 34. Starting verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And next we'll go to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 45 through 46. While you're turning there, I'll tell you a little personal story about some pearls. Linda and I and our son-in-law and daughter, Tiffany and Dustin, and our son and his wife, Chris and Holly, all went to Hawaii for the feast in 2006. The feast was over on the weekly Sabbath, and Tiffany and Dustin flew on back home. My wife and I spent, and our son and his wife spent the next night there, and then we were going to fly home on Sunday. Well, they had an earthquake. I think it was 6.3 earthquake Sunday morning. We were laying in bed, and everything started shaking like that. So, long story short, there was no power. It took us a while to figure out what was going on. Actually, I ended up calling back home to Wayne and Joanne Woodrings, and Joanne got on the news and to tell us what happened. So the airport was shut down. We finally got to the airport, and it was just packed. There were people sitting on the floors. There was no flights could leave because they had no power. And so people were sitting on the floors all over the terminal. And so I was walking around at some of the shops, and there was a little shop there that had a big bowl of oysters in it, or clams. And you could pay, I think they were like $6 or so, and you could pick out an oyster and get a pearl out of it. They were cultured pearls. So the young lady mentioned that sometimes they find a black pearl. And I said, well, I want a black pearl. And, you know, you don't know because you can't see what's inside it before you open it up. And I said, well, I want a black pearl, but actually I want two in the same shell. And she goes, well, that's probably not going to happen. And she said, the ones that look like this, you know, sometimes they're black. And I said, no, I don't want that one. I want this one over here. And so she took it and opened it up, and it had two black pearls in it. And we made my wife some earrings out of it. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what we need to be doing. So the question is, do we set our affections on physical things, on things other than God, and get sidetracked from that instead of and neglect our relationship with God? Do we let our affections consume our time and resources that we should be spending on seeking God? You know, God is the all-powerful creator and sustainer of all that is, and his very essence is love. So if you look up inanimate in the dictionary, here's basically what it says. Not endowed with life. These all fit that. Lacking consciousness. Not animated or lively. Just dull. If you remember the sermon I gave some time ago, it's been probably 8 months to a year ago, titled Does It Work? Where I followed the routine like... the guy on Channel 7 here, I'm not sure if he's still on it or not, but I think once a week he had a spot where he would order something that's promoted online or on TV. He would order it, and then Joe Terrell, yeah, that's his name. And, you know, I think that applies a lot to our Christian walk because, you know, we can look at things in the Bible and say, well, does it work or not? You know, does this product work? Does this phone work? You know, so it's good to examine it and see if it works. Well, let's see how that applies here. God is all-powerful, creator, and sustainer of all that is. Everything he does is done out of love. Okay, he can do everything. He created us. He created the heavens. He sustains everything. He gives us every breath that we breathe. What can this old truck do for me? Nothing. You know, I could, if it'll start... You know, when I go to start it, if the battery's not dead, when they sit there, the battery goes dead. It can't do any of those things. It cannot sustain my life. It did not create me. They can't produce water for us to live on. They can't do anything, but our Heavenly Father can do everything. So let's make sure that we're choosing wisely. When, you know, who we're going to give our affections to or what. We need to choose who, and it needs to be Almighty God, not what, not these things here. Anything that we put before God is an idol. Just as sure as the pagans in the Old Testament and the Israelites over and over that got involved in idolatry, if we put it before God, it's an idol just the same. And our God loves us so much that he gave us rules. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Exodus 20, 1 through 6. I think I've mentioned this before, but I've got a guy that's worked for me for several years, and he's told me different times, Morris, you've got more rules than anybody I know. And I said, I know, there's a reason why. And he goes, why? I said, because when you break the rules, bad things happen. And back here a couple of years ago, he was wanting to read the Bible, so I gave him a Bible. And he came to me the next day and said he started reading in Genesis and started reading in the first part of the Bible. He said, I thought you had a lot of rules. God has a lot more rules than you have. And I said, you know why? He said, why? I said, because when you break them, bad things happen. And that's true. That's why we have the rules. So, Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 6. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. I want to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to you out of the Amplified Bible. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is deceitful riches, money, and possessions, or whatever is trusted in. And most of you were probably here. The date was December 15th, and it might be worth going back to CGI's website and look at the archive of sermons there. But Mr. Ray Wendell was here and gave just an excellent sermon titled Come and Follow Me. And I highly recommend going to that. Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 3. Where we'll read verses. Well, no, I'll read this to you out of the Amplified. Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 22. It says, and to the angel, messenger of the assembly or church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and beginning and author of God's creation. I know your record of works and what you are doing. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I am in need of nothing. And you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and tested by the fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to wear, white clothes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and salve to put on your eyes that you may see. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults, convict and convince and reprove and chasten. I discipline and instruct them. So be enthusiastic and earnest and burning with zeal and repent, changing your mind and attitude. This next verse, 20, really stands out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to me and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him, and he will eat with me. He who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame and was victorious, and sit down beside my Father on his throne. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assemblies or churches. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 30 now. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. God is a faithful God. You can count on Him every single time. He works off His timetable, not my timetable or your timetable. You know, I come up with my plan that I fall in love with my plan, but then I realize that God's plan is always better than mine. And God's going to do something when it's the perfect time. So, but we have to be faithful to God, and He will be faithful to us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and read a little bit about the parable of the sowing. We'll start in verse 5. I may skip through here, son. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. The devil takes the word out of their hearts. That's what happens to those seeds. Let's ask God to, we'll continue on here after I interrupt myself on that passage. But let's ask God to give us our needs and seek Him first, and then He will always provide our needs. But let's never be consumed by these things. So we have to be very careful not to let the devil, Satan, take the seed that's been sown in us. Okay, continuing on in verse 6. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. These had no root. This that tells later in the chapter. These had no root, and they fell away because of temptation. Then in verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. It says later in the chapter, these were choked out and died because of the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They died. That's what we're talking about today. In verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. This is a good group. This is a group that we want to be in. So picking it up down in verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the key to being in the good group is to hear God's word with a noble and good heart, to keep it and to patiently bear fruit. And it's worth pointing out that, and encouraging to me that, you know, fruit doesn't just, there's not a bloom one day and the next day, bam, you got a full-blown apple or an orange or peach or whatever it is. It's worth noting that producing fruit takes time. So, you know, as we develop our relationship with God, hopefully we grow a little bit each day. And, it, you know, it's we're not going to produce a fruit in a week. It's not going to happen that fast. But as long as we're following God and God working in us, we produce, our fruit gets more and more mature. So it's easy, very easy in this materialistic society to always be focused on the next big thing. And that can become idolatry if we put it before God, if we give it our affections and invest our time and money in that above our relationship with God. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Just a brief little scripture. Which is filled with a lot of meaning. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. So if we do that, God will give us the desires of our heart. And I think a lot of times God is the one that puts the desires in our heart. And He wants to fulfill those desires. We have to seek Him first. And He will fulfill those desires at the very best time. Again, not necessarily on my timetable. Probably rarely on my timetable. Thankfully, God has His plan and doesn't just operate off of mine. So here's some things we can test on our next big thing is if we can't be happy without it, then it's probably out of balance. Another test is to take our next big thing and do like God required Abraham to do and put his son that he waited for, 20 years? Put his son on the altar. Sometimes we need to take our next big thing and put it on the altar before God. Another thought is, since God directs our steps, we don't have to be concerned about every single step, don't have to have anxious thought and worry about every single step we take. As long as we're following God and God's directing our steps, that can alleviate a lot of anxiety. So let's be vigilant not to give our time and affections, not to give our affections and time to be consumed by lust or covetousness. And I'll read you the definition out of Merriam-Webster's definition of consume. One is to do away with completely or destroy. Another definition is to spend time wastefully, squander. And another definition is to use up. You know, we use the expression spend time, and I think it's easy just to say that and not actually realize what it is we're doing, but we spend time just like we spend money. Excuse me. We need to make sure that we use that time very, very appropriately. You know, we can make more money. We can't make more time. We can try to take care of our health and do what we can do, but we cannot make more time. So time is really precious. Like I mentioned, I like to get on the computer, go on Craigslist, and look for deals on there. But I also have to be very careful that I don't get sucked into it and just waste a lot of time when I need to be doing this over here. One reason that people seek these things here is whether it's, you know, whatever, a new car or a new house or a promotion at work is some of the inappropriate things is because when we have those things, we have to get this fancy new car or a fancy new house or a job promotion, and people kind of look up to us and they're like, wow, look at what he got. And it kind of feels like love, but that's not love. So we got to be careful. That's the plastic pearls. The real pearls is the love of God. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read verses 6 through 9. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. Maybe my jacket's getting kind of dry now. I got caught out in the rain. It was just pouring down when we came out to leave. 1 Timothy 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 now. We'll read verses 5 through 6. Now, God doesn't want us, don't misunderstand, and I know you know this, but God doesn't want us to be dirt poor. He wants us to prosper. He just wants us to seek Him first. He's just like you are. You know, we all like to bless our children. We like to give them things. God is like that times, I don't know, pick a number, because I don't think there's any number big enough. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That scripture reminds me, yesterday I went to the nursing home, actually a few times, to see Mom, and I ended up needing to go see the head of nursing there in her office. And I walked in there and waited on her, and she had two plaques on her wall that I just loved. And actually, I took a picture of them. And later, I guess the maintenance man came in there wanting to know what I was taking a picture of. I'm like, that plaque right there, I like it. But it said something to the effect that gratitude makes what you have enough. That's worth contemplating. There's a lot to that. I'll just read Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to you. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now let's turn to Psalms chapter 115, and we'll read probably 4 through 9. Psalms chapter 115, starting in verse 4. This is talking about the false idols, or these things can be put in that same category. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. But they have mouths. Barbie's got a mouth. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. So that's the key, is we don't want to trust these things. We want to enjoy our blessings. We don't trust in these. We trust in God. And I've read this somewhere, sometime within the last year, I think. I thought it was a quite profound statement. I don't remember where I read it. But it says, a man can rise no higher or be no stronger than his idol. That's pretty profound. An idol, anything worshipped that is not the Creator God, is inadequate. It can do nothing to improve what that man is. I've mentioned before that I get several different daily devotionals on email, or whatever you want to call it. And one that I get, this is from the Bree, and I'll just read a portion of the quote, which I thought was quite appropriate for this message. It says, from the beginning to the end of its history, Israel's great sin was trying to get the best of both worlds. They professed that God was their God, but they proved their insincerity by not honoring him with their attention, their time, their energy. He was low on their list of priorities. God was always on the back burner, so to speak. This is idolatry. The Laodicean has misguided what is important in life, and therefore he prioritizes wrongly. He gives his attention to pursuits that are not intrinsically evil, things God desires to bless his people with, but because his priorities are wrong, he merits God's scathing condemnation. You know, you're probably all going through something. And everyone watching online is probably going through something. We all go through things. So what are you going through right now? I don't know. If you'd like to tell me, I'd be happy to hear what you're going through and to pray about it. But when we're going through something, who are we going to cry out to? Are we going to cry out to Barbie or this truck or that book? We're going to cry out to God. So he's the one we need to make sure we have a strong, close, tight bond and relationship with. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And then over in, let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I love this next verse, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I think I skipped over this. You know, this verse 4 says, no more crying. I have a passage in my notes here. It's in Psalms, and that I wanted to mention. But it mentions that this is how loving our Heavenly Father is. That he saved, he did this for David. David said in his prayer, "You saved my tears in a bottle." That's a really loving father. I mean, we really love our kids and our grandkids. We've never saved any of their tears in a bottle. And then David goes on to say, "And are they not in your book?" Let's read 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. And then I'll just refer back to Revelation 3, verse 20, that we've already read, where Christ says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. You know, we're sitting here because we are called to be a son of the Most High God. We've all been called to be in a royal bloodline, to be in the family of our Heavenly Father. And we are also children with incredible royal potential. Let's turn to one final scripture, Psalms 139, verses 22 through 24. Well, I'm sorry. I'll read this to you out of the Amplified. You can go ahead and turn there if you like. Psalms 139, 22 through 24. It says, Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I want to encourage all of us, and again, I'm talking to me more than anybody else, to let's let go of the cheap plastic pearls and let our Heavenly Father give us the real pearls that he has for us.